one off that way and one off that way. In case of emergency, use appropriate exit. While we're doing business, if you want to be recognized, please raise your hand. Outside of that, please be quiet. Did you all get a copy of the minutes?
Yeah.
Is there any changes to the minutes? Additions or corrections? Have a motion to adopt the minutes as sent?
Make a motion to accept the minutes as sent.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
You all got a copy of the supervisor's report? Is there any extra ones down there? Are they all gone? Questions about the supervisor's report? Motion to accept the supervisor's report.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next on the agenda is Mr. Barkley. Leah, please stand up. I want everybody to know who you are. Leah has been appointed to the Ethics Committee for the county four-year term. It'll be official Friday when the Board of Supervisors vote on it. Thank you to take the initiative and do this for us. Leah, there's nothing I wanted to ask you, not to do with the ethics, but I see a lot of your signs around the town. They're for sale signs. Do you have any idea how many in the town of Cambridge you have out signs?
Probably in the town of Cambridge, I've probably got 18 to 20 probably. They're in the town of Cambridge.
Are you seeing any movement as far as people from out of town moving here?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've probably the last 3 or 4 months, it's been a real brisk. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why. Relative to the past couple of years, which have been pretty quiet, we've seen an influx. We've seen people coming back looking for second homes. We've seen investors coming back into the area, which is good.
Yes, so, it is excellent. Keep our tax base up.
Good for me. It's good for business.
Well, it's good for us. It's good for the taxpayers to keep our tax base up. But as far as new building, what would we have this year, Laverne? How many new buildings?
Had four this year.
This year?
Got probably at least two for next year already.
Good.
They're talking. I mean,
good, that's fine. Excellent. Anyway, Rusty, you want to say anything to you? Congratulations for stepping up.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We have three resolutions. The first one is for the governor's way he approached the gun law, the anti-gun. Would you please read the resolution?
Yes, it's titled, In the Opposition to the Manner of Passage of the New York SAFE Act and the Use of Messages of Necessity, whereas the New York State Constitution requires a 3-day waiting period between the introduction of any legislation and the vote on it, but a special clause allows the governor, in the event of emergency, to issue a message of necessity, suspending the 3-day waiting period, and whereas the Senate and the Assembly, utilizing a message of necessity from the governor, passed the New York's Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement SAFE Act without debate or an opportunity for public comment, and whereas despite the message of the necessity of the 56 sections in the bill, 51 won't be effective for 60 days, several not for a year, the just two were immediate. And whereas the message of necessity has become an increasingly used method for the governors and the legislature to disregard the requirements of the law requiring time to debate legislation, and whereas while Governor Cuomo used the message of necessity 34 times during the tenure as governor in 2011 and 12, compared to the 57 times in 2010 alone. He has still used such messages to foreclose debate on controversial issues such as the Marriage Equality Act in 2011. And whereas a 2004 report by the Bremen Center for the Justice found that 27% of all major legislation passed issued from a message of necessity, and from 1997 through 2001, 95.5% of the major legislation in the Assembly and 95.1% in the Senate were passed without any debate. And whereas a message of necessity from the governor does not require the legislature to immediately vote on a bill, it simply allows them to bypass 3-day waiting period. And whereas representative democracy demands that both citizens and their legislatures have a full and fair opportunity to inform themselves about the purpose and content of proposed legislation in order to fully research and debate the issue presented. And whereas, whatever the viewpoint on the merits of a particular issue, all citizens should agree that a full and fair debate of issues can only lead to better legislation. And whereas the state of Connecticut, in which the Newtown shooting occurred, has chosen the path of reasoned research and debate by conducting public hearings before taking action. And whereas groups such as the New York State Sheriff's Association and the New York State Association of County Clerks has pointed out numerous difficulties and issues with the New York State SAFE Act that would have been avoided had the public and the relevant organizations had been allowed to comment and assist in the drafting of this legislation. And whereas local governments also have an emergency message option, but that it is tempered by the need for a 2-3 majority to pass legislation introduced pursuant to an emergency message. And whereas the legislation also results in additional unfunded mandates upon local governments in the time of extreme financial pressure, now therefore be it resolved that the town of Cambridge condemns the use of the message of necessity to pass New York SAFE Act, and be it further resolved that the town of Cambridge further calls upon the governor and legislative leaders to drastically reduce the use of the message of the necessity to those truly emergent occasions for which it was intended, and be it further resolved that this copy of this resolution be sent to, and well, there's nothing after
Senator
that.
Senator
Bettelittle. Senator Bettelittle, is that what it is?
Motion to adopt the resolution.
Make a motion to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. The second one is for the tour of wine, businesses in the town, well, actually the whole county. It seems to be a thriving thing. It's the entrepreneurs, along with the people that do the cheese and the bicycle races and all kinds of entrepreneurs. And the gentleman lives up here on Darwin Road, asked me to take into a resolution acknowledging the wine producers of the town.
A resolution to support designation of the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail. Whereas agricultural is an integral and important part of the culture and economy of the town of Cambridge, and whereas growing of wine grapes and production of local wines is a recent and expanding addition to agriculture in the town of Cambridge and has the potential to enhance agricultural economic development and tourism. And whereas expanding local grape growing and winemaking and creating opportunities for additional related businesses would foster substantial economic development in our area. And whereas expansion of local winemaking sector of our agricultural economy would also benefit other businesses such as cheesemakers, vegetable growers, meat producers, maple producers, restaurants, bed and breakfasts, hotels, and others. And whereas establishment of an official New York State designated wine trail in our area would help local grape growers, winemakers, chamber of commerce, and local governments to promote and market locally produced wines. And whereas the Upper Hudson Valley Wine and Grape Association is taking the lead to designate the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail by working with local governments and elected New York State legislators. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Cambridge Town Board strongly supports the official designation of the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail, including any portion thereof that may be located on the Town of Cambridge roadways. And be it further resolved that the Cambridge Town Board encourages our New York State Assemblyman Tony Jordan and our New York State Senator Kathy Michonne to work with the Upper Hudson Valley Wine and Grape Association to introduce and pass legislation to officially designate the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail.
Motion to adopt that resolution.
Make a motion.
I got a question. It says Tony Jordan's our assemblyman.
He's not our assemblyman. He's no.
I just read.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But he'll support that. He supports that. That's all.
Well, the way it was read, it said that they were in the term.
Yeah. Robbie?
That was the point I was
going to
make.
No, he said he'd support that. He'd support anything like that.
Okay.
No problem. Motion to adopt the resolution?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. And the third resolution is from the people that are the historical Hudson Valley Historical Association. It's a group that's been in existence in a short period of time, but they're supporting the Saratoga Battlefield and a lot of the local historical sites in the community.
Appointment of Supervisor of the Town of Cambridge as voting member for the historic Hudson Hoosick Rivers Partnership. Whereas Article 42 of the New York State Environmental Conservation Law establishes the Hoosick Hudson Historic Rivers Partnership, formerly the Historic Saratoga Washington on the Hudson Partnership, as a body, corporate, and public, and invites the supervisor of the Town of Cambridge to become a member of the partnership. Whereas the local legislative body of the town finds the participation in the partnership with the other municipalities in the Saratoga, Washington, and Rensselaer counties with regards to the matters of the common interest, including management of historic, natural, scenic, and recreational resources and economic development, will be in the public interest of the town. And now, therefore, the town of Cambridge hereby resolves that the supervisor of the Town of Cambridge is hereby authorized to become a member of the historic Hudson Hoosick Rivers Partnership.
There's no charge for this. What it is an information gathering group that meets once a month at the Saratoga Town Hall over in Shadowville for approximately an hour. Matter of fact, Tracy Snyder went there the last time, and she was in awe of the information she got in that short period of time. She couldn't gather it all. Motion to take. Yes, Ronnie.
Does this impose any obligations on the
none,
town?
None whatsoever. Just all it is to recognize it, to make a bigger group of people, that's all it's for more voting rights and stuff. Motion to adopt the resolution.
Motion to adopt the resolution.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Heather. Yes, yes, sir.
Just going back to the first resolution, was given to you by Senator Little?
No, that came from the county. The county's going to adopt that on Friday also. We're going to send it to about Senator Little's going to get it.
Okay, but how was it initiated? I mean, how was that resolution, the original request, where'd it come from?
That resolution? As far as us adopting it?
Well, no. Who did you as a group write it? Did
No, the no, county, it came from the county attorney who wrote it.
County attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be adopted by the county board of supervisors on Friday also.
Okay, so all the towns in Washington County are going to support the resolution, basically?
I don't know what the other towns are doing. I can't speak for them.
Okay.
But I was asked by the members of this board to come up with a resolution to acknowledge with the governor and the legislative body down there how they did it. It was not correct.
That's a good question.
No. The next thing on the agenda is we have a small problem. We don't have a small problem. the FBI has contacted myself and Judge DiCarlo, and we've had an investigator from the New York State Troopers address this also. We have a, the previous administration's judge had a problem with his paperwork, apparently. There were some documents that turned up missing in one of the ledgers. Over 100 pages were missing on the documents. But the main thing was that there was some cases where people were accused of felonies, and they were changed down to a misdemeanor, and they weren't, what do you say they were supposed to do to them?
They were adjourned in contemplation of dismissal and dismissed after 6 months.
And one of the young gentlemen that was involved in this, there was, so far it was five. One of the young gentlemen, God bless him, joined the Marine Corps, got sworn in, and they found out, after he got sworn in, they did a background investigation, they found out that he's supposed to be a felon, and he is going through complete, use the word hell. Matter of fact, his mother and him have to go down tomorrow to Albany, the federal building down there, and try to straighten out this mess, because they won't, they've had majors from the Marine Corps up here talking to his mom. They've had, like I said, the FBI calling the judge up, and we're trying to do a background check on him. But he's not the only one, and the problem I have with this is this. That's going to scar that young man for his life if this doesn't get straightened out. You lose a lot of rights when you become a felon. You can't have a firearm, you can't vote, you can, some of the stuff that you go back to the judge after a waiting period and get it dismissed, but there's a lot of things that you can't do, and it's not fair to them. But as I said, judge, in the spring, she's going to hire somebody to per diem, and when it warms up, and pull files out there and see how many more of them indictments out there haven't been sealed as supposed to be, so this doesn't happen anymore. People just don't understand the catastrophic thing that happened by Jar Jar Met not doing his job properly and sealing these indictments. Like I said, that gentleman and these other, this one, well, another young man tried to get a job as a teacher, and he's still fighting this and trying to get this straightened out. There's five so far, and I don't, there's over 100 pages missing out of this one ledger. I don't know what other information is missing also. But like I said, this screwed up this kid's whole life. And we don't know what, how many other ones it's going to take in effect. But the other problem I have with this, the town could end up in a lawsuit, because that's defamation of character. And who knows what else, because the indictments were supposed to be sealed. The kid was not found guilty of that felony. He was reduced.
So what would be the recourse on that?
Actually, Mr. Watkins, he was convicted of nothing. Adjourned in contemplation of dismissal takes the charge away, and the charge is dismissed.
Oh, really?
It was a felony. It was reduced to a misdemeanor. But then there was a plea agreement between the district attorney and his attorney, and the charge was an ACOD, which means that after 6 months, he has no conviction. It's sealed.
Great, but now, like I said,
it should have been sealed.
What wasn't done?
It was not sealed. They're open.
What does that mean?
Excuse me?
What does that mean?
It means that when somebody runs a background check on these people, it shows an open arrest for a felony. So, when it should have been a sealed case where nothing would show.
And that was Judge Arnett's fault, not the district attorney's fault.
It's the judge's responsibility to seal a case after the...
Is that a form that he did not mail in, or what? I mean,
I can't
sure
answer that.
A piece of tape you put on the... on the envelope. I mean, what exactly does sealing
the case? I can't answer that because I do everything electronically now. Oh. I seal mine through the computers.
So
I am directly hooked up to the Department of Criminal Justice Services. At the time that he was in office, he was not hooked up, so I can't answer that. I don't know. Something that should have been done was not done.
So repercussions? Don't know.
I can't predict what's going to happen in the future. Clearly, this one gentleman has got a major issue going on. If his report, when they did a background check, still shows that something is outstanding or he had a conviction, I don't know what the record shows for this individual, but there's potentially liability depending on what somebody would want to do.
So, would
Mr. Watkins, I ran the gentleman's rap sheet the other day, because I've been working on it for several weeks, and I wanted to see, the rap sheets are confidential, only I can get them, but I ran it to see what had happened, and the bottom line was, on the bottom it said sealed. However, today, from the United States Marines, I got another request asking for the file. I can't give them a sealed file. There is no case. The case is sealed.
You sealed it, though.
It was not sealed. I had it sealed. I've worked on it for weeks, getting it done correctly.
Well, she's also been working with the DA, Mr. Courtright, and some other people to try to get the paper. The other thing is that the paperwork is missing out of that ledger. Lord only knows what that paperwork is for. But the DA's been helping her, and he's had some documents up there that we could take and do some background check and get some other information for this. But again, to devastate a kid, this kid I think was like 15 or 16 years old when this happened. He was just a kid. He made a mistake. And he's being persecuted for it, and he's trying to go to take and serve his country. And the Marine Corps won't take you in there if you're a felon or anybody else.
So is the approach, do we just take the wait and see approach to see how this unfolds?
I know what I'm going to do because I've reported to my superiors at the Town and Village Judges Association, Office of the Office of Court Administration. I have reported it to them. Mm-hmm. And I have told them that I'm hiring somebody per diem to go file by file and look for the words ACOD. If any case has an ACOD, they're to pull the file and give it to me. If the proper sealing order has not been done, I will work on them and get them all sealed because I don't like the fact that there might be more out there.
Scott, do you have something to say?
My suggestion would be you notify the towns and ensure that there's the possibility of an issue here.
Okay, that's why I'm having this conversation.
Say is a proactive way of possibly dealing with the exposure.
That's why we're having this conversation.
It's all premature at this point in time.
The thing that, and this is something the public should be made aware of during that particular judge's time that someone was convicted of a felony, that you contact the judge, or the judge is in place right now, to see if that their indictment was sealed or what they did. Yes, sir.
Peter, I'm going to, if I may, just correct you for a second. The young man sounds like he was charged with a felony. Whether it was an indictment or not, I don't necessarily know at this point. However, it sounds like whether defense counsel or the district attorney's office made a motion to reduce it to a misdemeanor, which would have kept it in the local court. Because only county court deals with felonies. If the gentleman was 15 or 16 years old, depending on the disposition of the misdemeanor, it could have been a sealed case. If it was what they refer to as a mandatory YO, this was the person's first offense and there was a conviction of that. As a mandatory YO, the judge would be obligated to seal that. Now, whether the government, as in if this person ever got in trouble again and the district attorney's office wanted to look at his file, they can probably see these things, but to any employer or anybody else, it's sealed. If this was an ACOD, which is an adjournment and contemplation of dismissal, it's not a decision on the merits of the case. It's simply saying, in the interest of justice, whether it's 6 months or a year, that could go two different variations from time, that on the anniversary date, it will be dismissed. Once it's dismissed, there was an instruction that it should have been sealed so that no one else can look at this. That is perhaps what the judge is trying to accomplish now that wasn't done before, and the repercussion is whatever happens to this young man in the armed services or the other gentleman that was a teacher or trying to be a teacher is dealing with the fallout because the cases were not sealed properly at that time. So when they hire a company to do a background check, the school does a background check, this information is coming out that shouldn't be for
exactly.
Everybody to find
and
out.
That's what I'm trying to take and avoid.
Well, it's an accusatory instrument, Mr. Keller. It was not an indictment.
That's what he said on the indictment, so
right.
I just want to double check
him,
just so you understand that. Charged with a felony complaint and then reduced.
Legal jargon is scarce.
But I'm not going to say there's no exposure. It depends on what somebody does. That exposure will probably be limited depending on what the ultimate resolve is. If you were to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and have to deal with this X number of years afterwards, thinking that it was all taken care of, and then this person maybe can't be in the Marines or can't work or otherwise. That's typically why these things might come about, as to, you know, hey, this wasn't done properly. What's their recourse? Doesn't get them their job back, doesn't get them their whatever, but they they may be looking for something.
I'll talk to our insurer to make sure they know what's going on.
My suggestion would be contact them and say, you're aware that this has been brought to the board's attention. What, if anything, can you do at this point, or should you be doing?
Thank you. Go ahead.
Do you have an estimate for what the cost will be for this to go back to the files?
Well, I'm not sure how many of the files I have because there are quite a few of them missing, but I have three boxes of files, and I would think that a per diem could do it in one day. It will take me weeks to get the rest of it done, but all I want that person to do is to pull out anything that says ACOD so that I can double check it with Department of Criminal Justice Services. If it's not done, then I'll take care of it.
And what are you paying them per day?
Oh, they get $11 an hour.
So you're talking $88.
That's the standard rate.
Anyone else? Assessor's report. Ashley, buddy, Al. Make sure that everyone, if they have an exemption, agricultural, age, star, make sure they're filed by March 1st with the assessor's office, please. Veterans, go ahead.
There's no extension on that this year because the 1099 date was pushed back to February 28th.
What's that?
1099s aren't getting sent out until February 28th.
They have been sent out, I believe.
Well, they don't have to be sent out.
No, okay, yes.
But there's no extension on the deadline because people won't have their...
I don't believe so. I think it's, you know, that's the beginning of the process for the role for the town. Because by April 1st, we have to have a tax roll in place. Town clerk. By that, you finally.
I just wanted to report amount of taxes collected as of January 31st was $1,327,051.78. A remaining amount to be collected were $494,089.94.
That's all I have.
That's it?
That's it.
Mr. Ford, you got anything?
I'm all set.
Jerry?
No, I don't have anything.
Rob?
No.
Al?
Yep, you all got my report?
Yep.
Spent quite a bit of time plowing and sanding several small storms, as well as a couple other storms that weren't quite as small. In between, we did a lot of maintenance on the trucks, regular maintenance. And then, as you can see, we've done quite a few other things. We had the tires replaced on the loaders right after the first of the year. The tires came and got that done. The guys replaced the cab mounts, muffler, and 400 off lines on truck 4. On truck 5, replaced broken springs, broken rear hub, the pilot hub, and replaced it with a pilot hub. We had the old style on it. And then we ended up doing the same thing on the other side so that everything matches on the truck now. We had a decent day. We trimmed up the trees across the road from the shop to help the visibility come off County Route 60. We talked to the property owner. He said, yeah, go for it. So we did that. And, truck 3, we finally got run. Not going with today. It's been for the last month. It's been good. It's got all the issues fixed. So that's done. Just work inside when it's been cold. Working on trucks.
We hope so.
Safely are.
Yep.
Was truck 5 the last truck that had open center wheels on it?
4's got them.
4 still that's got open center.
Yeah, that's up for us. 19 years old, so it's
okay.
We still got open centers in the front of 5.
Yeah.
But the rears are all, I don't know.
Okay.
And we had wheels. We had enough wheels, not mighty wheels.
Okay, so you had the heavy spec wheels already here.
Yep.
For
yep.
Okay.
All right.
Scott?
Alan, question for you. The bush trimming or tree trimming or whatever that was done over here, was that on somebody's private property? That you did it for that individual?
We did it for ours.
Or on your on town property?
Well, it's in the right of way. It was the trees, it was the brush. That we were having an issue coming down the hill and trying to see out with plows. The plows were out with a yellow line before we could see anything was coming. So we just asked him if we could drill him. He goes, yeah, do it.
Planning Board?
The Planning Board held a regular monthly meeting Thursday, February 7th, 2013, 7:30 p.m. at the Town Hall. There were six members present along with Supervisor Watkins. The following items were addressed. New member Bob Hamilton was welcomed by the board. A special note will be sent to Charlotte Bansaw, recognizing her many years of faithful service to the Planning Board. The next Planning Board meeting has been changed to the second Thursday in March, which is the 14th. Chairman Eric Pearson has contacted John Peterson from the Town of Jackson and a member of the Washington County Planning Board to see if he would be willing to come to the Cambridge Planning Board meeting to share his knowledge about planning issues. He agreed, and the board has tentatively scheduled him to speak at the next meeting on March 14, 2013. The meeting will be advertised inviting the public. Mr. Peterson has asked that anyone with questions email him in advance of the meeting so that he can procure the essential documentation necessary to support his answers. His email is TRYGVE51. TRYGVE51 @alo.com.
Actually, AOL. AOL.
That's not what she wrote, but I questioned that too.
Well, I'll try both.
But we can double check. Let's see. Is he?
That's all lowercase.
He's from the Town of Jackson. We can always call Tammy in the Town of Jackson.
We've got Route 22 up by Rexley Church.
Okay. Well, I can double check that, and anyone can.
Well, I'll try. It'll just come back to me if it doesn't.
All right, well, you can let me know then, and we'll make sure that we have the right one. And anybody can call the office if they need information. Chairman Pearson commented he received two phone calls in the past month from people asking questions about the town's regulations. The call from a New York person inquired about zoning and site plan, and the Pennsylvania call was from a builder of cell phone towers. Mr. Pearson stated he referred both calls to the supervisor. Discussion then followed between the board and Supervisor Watkins about the need for cell phone towers, and should the town be thinking about instituting regulations to govern them. Jerry Moppert will review the 2012 data from the Code Enforcement Department and the Assessor's Office at a future meeting because all the information as of yet has not been received. Respectfully submitted, Sally Eddy, Secretary.
Questions? Answer?
You have the yearly report right there.
I got it.
You have any questions?
Never have had. Starting to build some houses, aren't they? Robbie's got one over there on top of the hill. The Doug's got one down here in the field. They finished that one. Any questions for Mr. Davis?
How's the school going, Laverne? Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You've got two classes left.
Next week.
Yeah.
All of them, you're all done?
No.
Two. You got two left.
And there's next another week. One
March.
April.
March.
Oh,
April.
Okay.
He's going to be so smart, I'll tell you. He's going to hurt when he walks.
How far do you have to drive next week?
Is it Rensselaer?
Oh, that's not too bad.
The heat down there is astronomical. Big heated building and everything. Communication, like Heather just said, I've had a couple calls about people, that's why I'm asking you about developing the town, the codes, and that's, I don't know why the planning board keeps shoving people off on me. I would think that was their position, what they had to do, but. One gentleman, as a matter of fact, he called me again today about the cell tower. He's anticipating putting two cell towers somewhere in the town. He doesn't know exactly where yet. He's been talking to different people, looking at different avenues, and he's been talking to Hudson Valley Wireless about them putting their equipment on the towers also. They're adamant about putting up some kind of a cell tower somewhere in this town. And the other gentleman from New York, he is, I would say, a small-time developer, I would say, something like that. You want to know about cul-de-sacs and utilities, the infrastructure of the town. Tolman is an agricultural community. The infrastructure, we have internet in some places. We do have paved roads. That's about the gist of it. Unfinished business. I talked to a lady today from Ag and Markets. I gave the information to Scott tonight about who's responsible for the dogs in the village. The village has one idea, and from what I read today, the state has a different one. So Mr. Keller looks at it and makes a decision on how we're going to handle it. We'll move forward on that.
That'll be ready by for next month?
I hope so. Like I said, these are actually, the thing I gave him, there were actually cases that were in front of a judge, mm-hmm. and a decision was made on them. So it's been through the court system, and it's been tried and been tested. So there's a decision on who's in charge of what.
That's through New York State or at
yes.
Markets? Or
it's New York State. It's in the western, one of the western counties. The county report, the only thing now is PVI. They don't know exactly. They thought they had a sealed deal, but they're not sure about, you know, what's going on with that. But the health care program sounds like that's going to be sold within the next month or so. And the transfer stations, that they have they're going to have a contract, a 5-year contract, with the option to buy the transfer station. And they hope to keep the county employees on staff for them. Any questions? It's Tom that's on your committee. That lives in Greenwich?
Yeah.
He's been corresponding with me. What a great man. I says, well, you got to tell me what you want, and he did. And I says, he called me the other day, and he says, that's exactly what I want. I said, well, that's what you asked for. That, you know, they can rent them with the option, the lease with the option to buy, and we're going to get the same service we've been getting. The only thing they might be doing is taking more recyclables in, such as over refrigerators, and paying people for them or something like that. He is a businessman. I've talked to him. He's a nice man. Probably the floor.
All sounds too good to be
sorry.
True.
Well, Rob.
You know, it all sounds too good to be true, but I'm glad that they found that buyer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, it could have been worse. They had a seller, somebody like that, come in. You don't know what was going to happen with him. But he stepped up, and like I said, he's from Vermont, but he's a nice young man. He's a businessman. But he actually told the county, he says, I'll run him for you. I can make money with him. I'll run him for you and make money with him.
It's just a shame the county couldn't do that.
Yeah. Government. It's called government, Mr. McIntosh. It's, yeah. Probably to the floor.
Right. You need to talk about, you know, get some input from people on the road situation, what they're looking for. Get some ideas of what people are looking for as far as paving or redoing roads. Kind of open. You know, we've got some ideas what we need to do. We're not going to take away any more dirt roads. Obviously, we can't afford to do that. The dirt roads will stay dirt roads. But we do have a paving schedule that we try to get accomplished in May or June, so the weather is good. Tentatively, we've got set up that we want to do the end of Edie Road. A couple years ago, they did the upper part. We want to the upper part, and we want to do the lower part. And then we've got some options. We've got some more on Gannon Road. We've got pretty rough. We've got top of Kenyon that's pretty rough. We got Whiteside paved up to Tolleson is pretty rough. So we can't obviously do it all, but I guess are there other issues that we need to be looking at that people are seeing that we're not seeing? It depends on where we end up this spring as far as how bad they are.
Right.
So I'm committed to getting public input, and I guess that's what I'm looking for. Comments?
That's not a paving issue, Alan. It's a winter plowing issue, I guess I'd say. County Route 60, the town is now taking over. Mm-hmm. Specific example is January 16th. We had a bit of a snowstorm. I know that day because A, it was my wife's birthday. B, I left here to be in Easton Town Court by 9:30. I came back off of Stump Church about 11:30 to come to Town Hall to see Heather to pick up some documents. And four trucks are sitting here. County Route 60 is not plowed. There appears to be just an over-exaggeration, but like somebody with a shovel of gravel that's gone down the center of the road, when you've got an oncoming car, you then have to take your tires out of the center line where it is clean, and now you're both going into snow. It's not being taken care of as well as it had been taken care of by the county before.
It's
my observation.
It's not going to be. That was made when we decided to take that. We aren't going to plow what the county did. The county goes around the clock, and we do not.
Are you going to salt it?
We do salt it. We do sand-salt mix.
Are you going to adjust the sand-salt mix to add more salt to it and less gravel?
Yep. We are doing that. We've done that.
It's not doing this job because of the worst that I've seen them in years.
And they're going to be. And they're not going to, because we're using the sand salt, we're not going
to. Easton used to be the worst, but you think that.
From my perspective, right now, we've got equipment that if the governor said get up on the thruway, we've got some of the biggest trucks that I've seen in the area.
Yep.
And we can't seem to get roads that are as good as Easton. I'm not picking on Easton, but they don't have the budget that we have. They don't have the equipment that we have. And their roads down blacktop.
Well, I accept that we did have those issues that one day. I mean, I think we've actually upped the salt on that one truck, using more salt than we were, and up the rate.
I'll give you a little experiment, and Robbie McMurray can take and tell you about this. You go up to Robbie, lives on an intersection up there. You have three towns that come together. You have Jackson, Easton, and Cambridge. What do you see in the road in town of Cambridge you don't see in Jackson? What the other two towns?
Oh, well, it's not fair because one goes by the farm. All three towns plow it. No, two towns plow it. Because they used to be able to turn around and see where it's driving, but they're not allowed to anymore.
So
he comes all the way to the intersection, turns around and goes back. And I can put up for the life, man. I can't figure out why he's got the plow down, but he does. But it used to be Easton was the worst. And it just seems like, I don't know if your salt mixture is too low or what. You put the stuff down, but it's just not working, is what it looks like to me. Not, I don't know what the difference is. I'm not trying to criticize them. Just give you information. Because I mean, I see all three of them go through, and their stuff is kind of working, but yours is like, does, but it takes a lot longer.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Yes?
You were talking about County Route 60. Well, I live on Blythe on the road, and that's plowed. And again, right down the middle. So if you meet another car, you don't have anything.
Right. Both of you wind up going in
a
heavily snow-covered area where you could slip and slide or whatever versus trying to keep two tires on the dry side. That's
I don't understand why they can't sand salt.
I'm just bringing it out.
Today I drove for a relief driver for a guy. And when we had the snowstorm this morning, and it's not just our town, it's all the town roads were a lot poorer than the county and the state.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just seemed like the state roads were the best because they were sanded the heaviest, I would assume.
Or salted.
Or salted in it, I'm sorry. And then the county, and then the town roads, I mean, some of the ones up in Bald Mountain were just absolutely atrocious. I mean, but anyways. Would a higher salt rate do a better job? So you'd have to do less plowing because it would melt the sand or snow rather than let it build up?
Well, probably sure it would. I mean, the more the higher the salt ratio, the better it's going to plow, but there's a cost factor.
Let me give you a little more information. Sand has no melting value.
I know.
All sand is made for is traction. What I was trying to get at is this. If you go down the roads as he's doing, you'll see they're wet down the center of the road. That's the salt. You go down to other town roads, you don't see nothing in the middle of the road. There's no melting in the center of the roads because they're using straight sand. He's putting salt in his.
Why is it just the center? I mean, it doesn't spread with the rest of the sand?
Well, it will. No, that's what happens. If you get the center 3-4 feet, it'll work its way out. The problem is if you spread the whole width, that's where, if you spread the whole width, it'll never melt off. You don't get, or you got to really up the rate.
It lowers it too much so it doesn't work.
Correct.
Now, your sanders run out the back or off the side?
One off the back and four off the side.
Donnie?
When the center is bare, everybody runs to the center of the road.
Right.
You come over a hill, bingo, head on. Somebody's going to get a lawsuit.
This is, I'll be honest with you, this is that practice hasn't changed. We're doing the same thing
that it's the same exact program that Eric Shaw was doing down the center.
What I'm getting at is, so you can throw the sand away and you shoot straight salt, you get the same effect on the highway.
You can. Probably better.
It would be.
But it costs you, I mean, you look at what, you know, we use probably 600 tons of salt on 70 miles of road. What's the county use for their 65 miles of road?
Probably about the same.
Yeah. Well, last year, though, you got to pass.
Yes.
You really didn't use any salt because I think we had, what, two snows?
We
one
didn't
in
use
October
salt. Well,
one.
What you got to remember is you get a little crap like we had this morning, you got to go out and put stuff down. Or, you know, you get, if it's covered, we got to go out and put material down.
Well, you didn't have a lot last year, so I would assume that there's salt left over from last year that can be added to the mix to up the increase of the salt content for this year. And you're still not, quote unquote, behind or in the hole.
Well, we've got this year, and you got all of next fall. So we've got 600 tons that we've allotted. That money that we saved last year, I don't get, that's rolled back. The money that it was like $26,000 that was left over from salt, that's rolled back into the.
But you didn't buy any salt because you had stuff left over from last year.
Oh, we can't store enough salt here for that. We can only store about 300 tons. So that's, you know, we had salt left over, sure.
Again, my observation is the roads are not nearly as well taken care of, and it's not just County Road 60, it's the other roads compared to what they were before. Certainly County Route 60. And you say that that's a difference between what the county was doing versus what the town's doing.
The county runs 24/7.
Straight salt.
Straight salt all night long.
What's your tentative program in the storm like? Did you run like twice a day or?
Depends what's going on.
Beginning, middle, and end or?
Just like if we get snow overnight, we're in 4:35 o'clock. We're going to try to make one pass so that the buses can get around. That was kind of, it's a wait and see what's going on. Because we're obviously not, we could keep running all day long, but at a certain point, it doesn't make sense to keep putting material down, piling up, putting down, piling up.
So how do you make the decision as to when you go back out and plow again?
Well, look at the roads, kind of keep an eye on. We watch this road here, breaking the, you know, we see that, or I run up the road and see. Like the other day, we had snow, it was a snow cover here, and at the top of the hill, there was no snow. You know, it was just, we had a squall that came right through this way. Basically, you're out in the roads looking, watching for them.
What happened with the magnetic decals for the truck? They don't stay on, or what happened?
We lost one, so we ordered stickers.
Okay.
Stickers are put on. Yeah, I'm not going to. We washed it, and the next day I went to Mers and came back, and I thought somebody take it.
Some kids probably got another four-wheeler.
Probably.
Thanks, Alan.
Well, I guess I didn't get any input from, I'm hearing complaints about snow, but I'm.
Long time of year for blacktop, isn't it?
Well, I guess I just, you know, I told Ronnie we'd do it, and I'm not getting any.
I got a question.
Yep.
Not about particular roads, but as a general practice, about how many miles of road do you try to pave or repave every year?
We got money for about a mile and a half to 2 miles.
So that's this one.
Yeah, so we got 65 miles.
Take a note.
Can you make a turn a blacktop road into a dirt road?
They're going through
everybody
for a while.
Wants to live on a dirt road.
They're going through for a while. There's someone on 372.
It isn't a dirt road.
It's going to be.
My dirt road is smooth in 372.
It is. I agree. Yeah, that road's in good shape.
Yes, Leon.
How about the difference between what you put on Center Cambridge Road versus paving?
Chip sealing, that costs us about $15,000 to do. Just about a mile of road, so it's way cheaper if the road's in good enough shape. You know, that road was in decent shape, it was just starting to spider crack.
The base has to
be a good base. If the base is no good, then you're just kind of wasting money, still going to be rough and bumpy, and you know. And that was good enough, so we did that. We'll look at some, depending on what we have for money, we'll look at that and some other roads too that need to be.
I know it depends on the base and everything, but if you got equal bases, what you were talking about sealing and a regular paving job, what's the life expectancy difference of the two?
This will get you another 2 or 3 years, what we did over here.
Yeah.
You know, paving is going to be, it's got to be, when you pave a road in order to get CHIPS money, it's got to, expectation's going to be 10 years.
10 years.
And if you do it right, you'll get that easy.
Yeah.
And you're only doing a mile and a half a year. You got 65 miles.
That's $100,000, Robbie.
Yeah.
That's $100,000.
Sure.
That's what you get to do. Well,
I backed up. We got 65 miles, but about 20 of it, roughly 20, is dirt. So we've got 45 miles of paved. Right.
45 years.
Yeah.
This is a 30-year rotation.
Yeah. That's why you try to pick and choose.
Yes?
I have a question. You said before you have on your trucks that you have stuff coming out the back.
One comes out the back, the other four come out the side. Up in the front.
What comes out the side?
Sand, salt. The spreaders dump unload in the front of the truck or the middle of the truck.
So if you're going down the middle of the road and you've got sand coming out the back of your truck and you've got two on either side, wouldn't that be throwing it out?
We don't have two on either side. We have one sander, and it throws it out in the middle.
One discharge, just one discharge on a truck, whether it be in the middle of the back or on the left-hand side of the truck. It discharges one place or the other. It has one that discharges out the back, in the center in the back. It has four more that discharge out the left-hand side behind the driver's seat.
It's like a spinner. It flings out.
If you've got all those things that are putting out sand, why is it just down the middle?
We have one thing.
That's because they only sand one way. When they come back the other way, they don't...
Either way, it'd still be in the middle. If you're going down and coming back, it's on the left-hand side. It's still always going to be in the middle.
Right.
But yeah, when you go out and plow, they don't... Well, there's some places, some of the hills and some of the turns, they'll sand first pass, but when they come back, they put the sand down, plow it all along.
So the idea is that if you put your sand salt more in the middle, as it melts the crown of the road, it rolls down the sides,
that's
and
correct.
It should glare.
Yes.
If the temperature's right.
Correct. Yep, temperature's got everything to do with it.
2, 3, 4 hours, and then you got slush and mush in the side. Everybody hits and pulls them right
in. That's when we go back out and we scrape it off.
Let's go back to the spinner in the back. Spread it where it's supposed to be.
Yep, I mean, I think what they figured out is the most efficient way is to do it, get your center line bare, let it go off, and then scrape them off.
The traffic works it into the...
Oh, definitely.
Into the snow.
You take a high-traffic road, it goes off a lot better than a low-traffic road. Absolutely. Traffic helps.
Works you don't out. Get any sun or anything on light.
Well, lights, like I scraped some dust this afternoon.
Yeah.
Because it was just wasn't coming off, so I went back up through and just slushed it all off both ways because it... The sun makes a huge difference. Like we see a difference down here in this hill this year. Better.
Are there skid shoes on your plows?
Yes.
Is there any way that you could drop the skids down just a little bit more so that it took a little more material?
Well, actually, the blade, if you put the blade down, the blade's right on. It's okay. A carbide blade. It's right on. It's more so if you get into a hump.
I
see. Behind that. Yeah.
All the shoes are supposed to carry the weight of the push frame.
Right.
All the way the plow's supposed to be on the cutting edge.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at it, you set them in the shop, the cutting edge is right on the ground.
That's the shoes are part of the tripping mechanism for the moldboard, and that's all they carry in trip.
Okay.
They're adjusted right.
Anyway, I'll vote for Gannon Road because I know the price of that is really bad.
Second.
Right?
Okay.
From into the floor. Well, Ronnie.
I just want to thank Alan for doing that.
Sure.
I think that they get input, and thank you.
Rob?
I want to comment on the phone calls that you received. The first one about the cell phone towers. I think it's great news that maybe we'll all have broadband finally.
Which we're working on.
But I want to stress that there are cell phone towers and there are cell phone towers. And the one up here on Danny Thomas's field, you have to really look for to find them.
Thank you.
That
and
is not an eyesore. Okay, so there are ways to sight them so that you don't upset people. And there are ways if you just don't care about spoiling the view, you can upset a lot of people. But you can't tell a tower installer you can't put it here unless you have it on town books. These are the criteria for siting a cell phone tower. So I would urge the town board to get some cell phone tower criteria in place.
Mr. Skip worked on that today.
And the other phone call, a small-time developer, one thing a developer looks for is the security of a town that has a zoning ordinance that's going to protect the value of a development, for instance. Okay, so it's a double-edged sword, I realize. But this town has no prohibitions about anything. And one of the things that concerns me is the amount of wastewater that's being trucked all over the Northeast from the fracking wells. Each well takes thousands of truckloads to bring the water in and to bring the water out. And they're trucking up into northern New York somewhere to some kind of...
Watertown.
Is it Watertown?
Yeah.
Okay, and why should they bother to travel that far if they could come to Cambridge?
Exactly.
So, this is one of the things that we know we don't want.
Yeah.
But we couldn't do anything to stop it.
That's the stump law that we've been working on.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Let's get it up.
Yeah. In fact,
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's right on topic.
Yep.
I have been asked by the town board to work on an anti-dumping law. I've been given material by the town board. I've researched it myself, and I have to give credit to Jerry Skiff that he sent me a video of a gentleman who used to work as a hydraulic fracking engineer who gave a speech, if I understand it correctly, in Pennsylvania. He was not pro, he was not anti. He said to the townspeople in this area, I'm going to give you this information because you are on the front line of what's happening and you need the information. So in my opinion, it was not very biased, but it was very factually based with analysis and statistics and charts and everything. It was about an hour and 45 minutes. A lot of the information that was contained in that dissertation I've attempted to include into the anti-dumping law, water runoff, produced water, byproducts of fracking, for example, I've attempted to put in there just to let the town people know at this point. Draft one has gone to the board. The board's looking at it. I'm asking for the board's feedback. If changes need to be made, I'll make those. And it's my anticipation, depending on what the board decides, that within the next month or two, it will then be sent to the townspeople for everybody to review and comment. But I have hopefully address that issue and been somewhat proactive in your comment.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
I'm actively trying to deal with some of the things that you're concerned about, along with other things in this proposed law that we're going to try and work on here that the town's going to have shortly. But that has been an active concern.
Number two, Mr. McIntosh.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I'm glad to hear this news. And there are other things besides dumps.
It covers quite a spectrum of stuff. Well, you'll see when we get it.
Let him finish.
He might have something else we haven't thought of.
There are things that I think every Cambridge person would agree we don't want to have happen in the town, and it may not fall into the category of dumps. So I'll wait and see about this.
I can say to you, dumps, dumping, think of it along those lines as opposed to just quote-unquote a dump in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the board has it. I'm waiting for feedback from them. There are some concerns I've been told, although I don't know what those are. I'll address those as soon as I get them. I'll work on it a little bit more to go back to the board. This is typically the process that I've been working with. They can read it. If they say, I think we've got it, or you've answered the questions, it then gets put out for everybody in the town to take a look at. Open comment, feedback comes in.
What's the timeline?
Next month.
It's really going to depend on how long it takes the board to get it to me, what kind of research I need to do. I think they're prepared to give it to me this evening. So it's whatever kind of research I need to do. I anticipate giving it back to them so that they have it in their hands before next month. If they give me the green light, then I don't want to speak for the board, but I would assume that the townsfolk should have it within 30 to 60 days if everything goes accordingly, so that everybody can read through it and comment on it. I would anticipate that feedback would come back again saying, you missed this, or I don't like this, or why that. I'll then continue to work on it, and when we get to solid ground, no pun intended, with everybody sort of agreeing that this is important and this is the way we'd like it to be, this is the way we'd like it to go, I'll do a final, and then it's up for a vote. The board can vote as they see fit based on what their constituents tell them. So if they say yes, and it passes, once it's been done, then you've got a law. If they say no, we either go back and rewrite it again, or we move on to something else. But I am definitely
thinking actively
about a lot of different things. Farmers are included in this, but there are exceptions based on ag and markets law. There's a number of different things that I have to weave into this to make sure that I'm not penalizing one person over another, or a farmer versus other people. But fracking byproducts, all sorts of stuff like that, which is water and trucks that are leaking as they cross the roads. I'm trying to be somewhat proactive in that, is the way that I put this together based on research and everything else. So I hope it addresses everything.
And the other thing we're working on is lot size and setbacks. For the gentleman that called, I explained to him that we're working on a lot minimum lot size and setbacks for the town too. We're going as fast as we can.
Thank you.
Sue?
Well, if you look into cell towers, I hope you consider windmills.
Susan, that's right on the top of my list, young lady, believe me. Yes.
Towers.
like Rob said about the cell towers, we're trying to make them as inconspicuous as we can make them. It's like when we did the one down here. That cell tower started out in up off of Wright Road, and it was in the middle of a field down here, and we finally talked to the person into putting it at the edge of the woods over there to break up the cell. That was Mr. Skip. He wanted to paint it camouflage.
That one happened to be rusted, so.
That one was, it was. It was rusted.
So it fit in.
It fit in.
I know that homeowners have their rights to do what they want with their properties, but I think in this case it would have been nice to have a choice of where it was placed. I think it would have made a big difference as to where, you know, it would
I agree
at least
with you.
Be considerate of your neighbors when you're putting something in, if that's possible.
It's possible. All you got to do is work together. It's all about.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point, because today I did a Google search, and I typed in, what is site plan review? And I'll tell you, it's really not what people think. It's not an intrusive regulation. It really doesn't have any teeth to speak of. It's just a tool for the planning board to work with the builder on placement. That's all it is. I mean,
the windmill.
You know, that would have been up for discussion. You know, and if nothing could really have come about it, you know, you can't. In the end, ultimately, you can't stop the person, but what it does is it brings the two parties together with a mediator, the planning board, and then you resolve that issue, you know, like that. I was always under a misunderstanding about site plan review, and it's, I see Mr. Barkley. Am I right, or?
Not yet, you're right. Site plan review just basically does bring the parties together to resolve any, it's usually not major issues, it's how wide do you want the sidewalk, or how many bushes per square feet do you want, or number of parking areas per home, or whatever, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's usually just a place to get a common ground so that everybody's happy. And like I said,
it doesn't really have any. It's
a review. It's a review of the proposed plan.
Anything else you want us to do? Seriously. I know you were adamant about that New Hampshire had some kind of a thing that they did in New Hampshire.
Well, that's a beautiful template for a town, a small town's plan, and I'll make more copies.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, okay, I'll make more copies of it because it's good.
I'd like to see it.
You're going to get development here. That's the point I was trying to make with Lee and my main man here to begin with. You're going to see development here. I talked to a man by the name of Tom Richardson from Mechanicsville. He's what they call the supervisor down there, but his actually, he's like an LDC, a local development person. If you ever get a chance to go to Mechanicsville, drive out State Route 67. D&H has put what they call a piggyback terminal out there. I know the resident engineer in Saratoga County quite well. He's had a lot of complaints about jake breaks. They have over 100 tractor trailers a day going in and out of that facility down there now. Amtrak is anticipating putting another terminal in Mechanicsville for transportation of personnel. My son-in-law is going to be working on the project over there at the chip factory. The first one is a 2-year project, and the second one is a 10-year project of adding on to that. It's inevitable. There's going to be progress here. We're going to have people move here. That's what I asked Leon about, and he's seeing it. And I'm getting phone calls about it. And if we don't take care of ourselves, somebody will take care of us.
Yeah.
I've got a great board. As you see, they're all working together. My deputy, she's sick tonight. She got the flu, but she wanted to come. I told her, stay away from me. I don't need it. But they're all working together, and they research stuff. They come up with ideas. They talk amongst themselves. They're getting a lot of stuff done. But again, they want it right before they give it to the public, because we tried this once with the animal law, and it blew up in our faces. The public got it before we even had a chance to take a look at it. And this board, they took the animal law. They want nothing to do with it. But it was given to the public prematurely, and we had more people than this in there that night. And I had two people knocking on my door that Monday night telling me about the animal law. I said, we're not even going to adopt it. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, it's a dead issue. The public doesn't want it. You're wasting your time. It's nice to come visit me. But if any of you have come up with an idea of what you want to do as far as stuff in the town, don't be afraid to talk to one of the board members. They'll pass it on. Yeah, Ronnie.
I'm curious about the process, though. And when are you guys working on the dump law?
As far as reading it?
Well, Scott is waiting for a consensus from you about.
That's the hard part.
To work on it.
That's the hard part, is to get together and do a workshop on it, present it to the public. That's the hard part, because we don't want to be in violation of any open meeting laws or anything like that. So that becomes a stickler.
So how are you doing it? What are you doing?
Well, we pass it around.
We pass it around, read it.
Yeah, mark it all up, pass it around, put question marks.
And I'll tell you quite frankly, it's not an easy read. Because it makes a lot of references to the ag and market laws and other laws. You have to go research just so you understand what they're talking about. Then you're not really sure.
They're doing their homework. They're good students. Anybody else?
Well, I've got a few. Go ahead.
Help? Anything?
I got a few more questions for...
Leave Leon alone. I asked him here to take and get acknowledgement that he's going to be on the ethics committee.
Well, he knows what's...
There's only two. Let me explain this to you. There's only two. There's six positions. Six positions. Two of them are four. Two of them are three. And two of them are two. You are one of the four dear people. And the other one, I think, is from Hartford. It's going to be the first ones for the 4 years. And I don't know who the two or three, but two of them are going to be either supervisors or someone in that capacity. Go ahead, ask him. If he wants to answer, I wouldn't.
What do you see in within the next 5 years?
You mean just? I'm assuming you're talking about growth within
growth
the town,
or a downturn or.
Well, of course I don't see a downturn. I mean it's.
Well, not.
I mean,
standing
right here now, I don't believe there's definitely going to be growth. Barring any catastrophic event or something like that,
yeah.
There will be growth because of the fact that we get spillover from what was on in Malta and so forth. When 1,000 jobs come into Malta, that doesn't mean that 1,000 houses in Malta are going to sell big time. And the ones that are sold in Malta, the people who own a house in Malta say, I don't want to live here anymore, it's too crowded, and they push out. So, I mean, I don't have a specific number, but I know,
oh, yeah, I wasn't.
I know a few spots around right now. There are at least a handful, if not even more, families who work specifically in the tech park who live locally.
There's a young,
some of them own, some of them rent.
There's a young couple that live over off of Sugar Maple Way or whatever. They just moved here from down in Bethlehem in Albany County.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to them on Friday, and I said to her, why'd you move up here? First thing's the taxes. The second thing was the people are considerate and nice up here.
Yeah.
She said, but the main reason is because of the taxes.
I got another question here. Is, are we, did the previous boards or administration, do we have a law in the books that says we're not going to take on any more roads?
No.
We don't?
No.
I thought there was.
No, there's
something similar.
Not that I recall.
No. I looked that up too, and I can't find anything.
Are we going to do something about that in the event that there is a cul-de-sac or a, you know, another situation that Rogers Lane turned out to be, where we end up having to take on?
You got three of them. You got Rogers Lane 1, the Rogers Lane extension, and then down in South Cambridge, you got another one down there, another cul-de-sac.
That's why we have the subdivision regulations in the first place.
It's already here. We just didn't take on the road, that's all, because no one's approached it or taken tested it yet. Say there's this many lane miles of road, we want you to start doing the roads. We do Rogers Lane, but not Rogers Lane extension.
Right, but that was kind of, the town got persuaded into that, from what I understand.
That was persuaded, okay, that's what you want to call it. Yeah, mm-hmm. They have
what's the rule on opening up old roads?
Old.
Like the one that comes right by my house. It's Martin Rogers Road. It comes
yeah,
out
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
comes from the other side, yeah.
It's on the maps.
Yes. Well, that part, I don't know if that part of it is. The other part, the other end where we plow is on the map, on the town map.
Yeah.
I don't know if they let that part go back to the landowner or not.
Well, it used to come up by the dump and then
yeah.
Cut in. There was a hook in there.
Yeah.
But I saw the map where it comes, and it comes right down by the camp of Wilcox.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to Marty Rogers Lane.
Right, that's where it is. Right, we're maintaining.
And that went out in, as near as I can tell, it went out when the railroad went out and they changed our road, that our road used to use that in order to get down to Fly Summit.
Yeah.
Because where my mailbox is, that's all new road. Comparatively new road was put in after 32 when the railroad went out. The railroad tracks were ripped up in 32.
If you go around to all these town roads that we still maintain that are private driveways, if you follow them and get the old maps out, they'll come out someplace else. Like over on Meeting House Road or by Hungerford's place over there,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? That road that goes in there,
yeah.
That comes out behind Amber Horton's house.
Yeah.
That's where that road comes out.
Up in Wand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes right back around, comes up behind Amber Horton. And I told that girl one day, we're going to open that old road up. I didn't like that idea.
Because we have a we have a foundation right across the old wood road.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I walk on it. It's all open.
It's like the old Cambridge Road, the 372.
Yeah.
You go over there, you can still see it where it went, the old stagecoach road. Goes cross country and comes out in front of his house, right behind his house over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another one that heads towards Sale.
Yeah.
Like whenever you see a double hedgerow, it's usually an old stagecoach
yep.
road.
But we're not trying to take on any more highways. Matter of fact, we're trying to give them private driveways back to the people so we don't have to maintain them. There's a few of them that I have no problem with. Not to pick them, but like LeBaron Lane over there on
mm-hmm.
Schoolhouse Hill. To get in and out of that in a snowstorm, it can be hazardous to your health. And if in an ice storm, it's even worse. It takes a bobsled right on right to the bottom of it. But there's some of them, you know, like we're trying to get rid of them. Scott's been working on it. The Scaglione Lane down in off of King
yeah.
Road. The person there put a no trespassing sign up. You still doing that? Good. they put a no trespassing sign up and said, they want us on the property. And I only want someone to give us a letter saying they don't want us on the property, we'll turn it back to landowners. They're coming around. People are saying, you know, we don't want you on our property. I was surprised when they did the one down here for Pearson's there that Lon Burney had. I was surprised when people down there didn't say we want the road back.
You still plow that one?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's, what is it, like 16 or 17 of us still?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Well, I guess my question is do we want to take on more if, in the event, you know, when or if there is growth?
Let me explain to you this way. Anytime you have growth, you increase your tax base, which means you split up your revenue more. But on the other hand, you start giving more services, your taxes are going to stay right where they're at. Understand what I just said? In other words, if somebody starts building a cul-de-sac, you're going to increase your tax base because you're going to build it. But on the other hand, if you have to maintain a driveway in that cul-de-sac, you're going to lose your tax base because you're going to put it right back into maintaining the road.
That's right. And do we want to do that?
Well, I don't see any reason why. It should be. There could be a law with a town attorney. But it's been done before that you don't have to take on any more highways. That's not your obligation.
What do you think about that, Robbie?
Taking on more highways? I'd rather see it not happen, but it's a free country.
Yeah.
The other thing you look at, if somebody's going to put in, say a developer wants to put in 10 houses,
yeah.
I would expect they're going to pay taxes, mm-hmm. and they want some services. So if you say, well, that's, we're not doing that, you know, you kind of got to weigh that out. You know, or they have to have some sort of a...
But ultimately, it would be private, though.
Well, it could be, but I'm just saying, you know, what are they getting for, so what will they get from the town for their taxes?
They get, when they leave the driveway, they get to run on the town road. Same thing I get.
Right, but if somebody put in a street with 10 houses on, you would, my personal opinion, you would be able to get some services. We all get.
But I don't get my,
I'm just saying, say they put a road in that, you know, goes through, or you know, Greenwich is full of cul-de-sacs over there.
It is?
Oh, across from McDonald's, oh yeah.
Well, go up North Road.
They're a pain in the neck.
Oh yeah, oh, they're...
Look north road, they're all cul-de-sacs up there. It's all built up. Yeah, Rob.
Site plan review would be a good thing to have in place, you know, because if someone comes in, wants to, and buys land, or wants to make a development, who's going to stop them? But you can influence them. There's no mechanism for having your voice heard, and then they'll just do what they want. Right now they got the subdivision regulations, so as long as the streets are certain, right. The curbs are so high and so forth, they can do whatever they want.
Anybody else? You ain't got more questions? What's wrong with you, Slipton?
Who, me?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
See y'all next month. Thank you for everyone for coming.